This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له جل عن الشبيه والمثيل والكفء والنظير وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows what we reveal and knows what we conceal and even knows what the animals feel. We thank Him, we praise Him, and on Him we have reliance. It is to Him we only turn to for true guidance. We ask Him to send His peace, His blessings, His mercy on the best of human beings and prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on whom be praise until the very end of our days. And we ask Him for steadfastness, guidance, mercy, and to never lead us astray, and for Him to save us on Judgment Day. This current month that we're in, the month of Muharram, was described by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as the month of Allah. Shahrullah Muharram. And it is called that because of its sanctity, because of its importance, and because of how much reward there is in this particular month. It is the first month of the Islamic Hijrah year. And it is a month which deeds are multiplied and sins are multiplied as well. And the Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith that the most beloved fasting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the obligatory in the month of Ramadan is in the month of Allah Muharram. But it is also a month in which an important particular day in this month is emphasized to fast in. And that is the day of Ashura, the 10th day of this month. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Arabs actually used to fast this prior to even Islam. As Islam came, they actually fasted it as well. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina, and he found that the Jewish people and the tribes that had settled in Medina, they were also fasting. He asked, why are they fasting? And they said that it's because on this day, the 10th of Muharram, is the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa from the oppression and tyranny of Fir'aun. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that we are or have more right or are more deserving of Musa alayhi salam. We have more right to him and therefore we will fast on this day as well. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on encouraging people to fast even after Ramadan. It became a highly recommended fast because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you fast on this day, you will have the previous year's sins forgiven. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to do this and encourage the companions until the point it was towards the end of his life, alayhi salatu wasalam. He wanted to differ from the Jewish tradition and the Christian tradition because our tradition is the tradition that preserves the faith of God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and does not follow Christianity, does not follow Judaism in its changing of that faith. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if I were to live the following year, I would fast the 9th as well. Meaning not to single out a day, just like the Jewish tradition had singled out a day before. We don't single out any day for commemoration except that Allah and His Messenger have prescribed. So he said, I would fast the day before it. And in another narration which has weakness in it, and some scholars speak about it, and some scholars strengthen it, or a day after it. And that is the 9th and the 10th essentially. On that day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salam We learn a number of powerful lessons. Among them is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Baqarah, and remember when we saved you from Fir'aun's people, who subjugated you to terrible torment, slaughtering your sons and sparing only your women. This was a great trial from your Lord. And when we parted the sea for you, saving you, and drowning Pharaoh's people right before your eyes, we appointed 40 nights for Musa. And then while he was away, you took to worshipping the calf, a terrible wrong that you did after, meaning Allah Azza wa Jalla saved you from. There's so many lessons to be derived from this, is that number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always will smite tyranny and oppression and save people from it. Dhulm will never last. And people who are partaking into it, on this day and this month, they should remember that Allah will have reckoning over those who commit oppression. And if you think that this just means oppression of nations, what's happening in China with our brothers and sisters from the Uyghur that are being oppressed by this oppressive regime, or in Palestine from the occupation, or anywhere in the world where you see oppression, whether it be Kashmir or India, or anywhere else, people think it's this level of oppression that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of. Rather, at an individual basis, Allah azza wa jal also holds oppression to account. In fact, one of my teachers in Medina, he says that I looked into the lives of the men that came to me for counsel, and I found that the vast majority of them who have a horrible life was because of a woman that they oppressed in their lives. Because of a woman that they oppressed in their lives, and that woman made dua against that individual, and now he has a horrible life because of that. Because the Prophet ﷺ has said, between Allah and an oppressed servant of his, there is no hijab. There is no cover. The dua is direct, the prayer is direct, and Allah answers it. And this is the same as the opposite. There's many men that women are oppressing too. It goes both ways. And that is why every single individual must look within themselves. Are you committing oppression against anyone? SubhanAllah, this was such an emphasized point to us that our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, He wrote upon Himself mercy and that He will never oppress anyone. And He said, oh my servants, because of that, do not oppress anyone, because oppression will become darkness for you on the Day of Judgment. Al-dhulm, dhulumat yawm al-qiyamah. The oppression that you commit, you will see darkness on the Day of Judgment. And it comes from the same word. Dhulm comes from putting something or taking the rights of others and putting it in the wrong place, meaning you're usurping it. And it comes also from the word dhulm, which means darkness, or dhalam, which means darkness. And this is a very serious thing, to the extent that our teachers impressed it on us so much that I don't even park wrong. You know, when you're in a parking spot and you don't know if you're going to block somebody, in the back of your mind, you should be, as a Muslim, don't even park wrong in front of. If you care about parking wrong, and if you care about the rights of others, if you care so much to not do the minuscule or the minutia of things to wrong people, then what about the greater rights of others and responsibilities that we must uphold? In this story, we also learn that human beings tend to often forget to be gracious and grateful for the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after having been saved. Allah saved them from that oppression, and then they turned their backs on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they worshipped other than Allah azza wa jalla. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this example because we too are the same. And that's why there was an interesting story to me that I always reflect on. And that was Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw some people gather speaking about the children of Israel, the ones that are in the story. And they're saying, how can they be so crazy? How can they still be so stupid? How can they? And Umar radiallahu anhu says, those examples were given not for them, but for you, so that you cannot follow in their example. Maybe you and I will fall into it. And that's why these examples are there in the Quran. Allah tells us our theology through stories for a reason. Because those stories stick to you, and the more you reflect on those stories in the Quran, every time you look into it, there's a new benefit. And that's the miraculous nature of the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayah after this, even then you took a calf and worshipped it other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking it would benefit you. Even then we still forgave you. Even then we still forgave you, so perhaps that you would be grateful.
لعلكم تشكرون.
That you show a sense of gratefulness. And the amazing thing about the Arabic language, the word shukr is actually not a noun. It's actually a verb. You have to show thankfulness. Meaning it's still a noun, it's gratefulness. But it means it entails action. If you were to just verbally say thanks, this is a thana, this is hamd. You say alhamdulillah or thank you. But shukr means to actually have an action based on that. It's to show Allah Azza wa Jal the blessings He gave you and using them in the way that is pleasing to Allah. That is shukr. That is shukr. Whereas if you just say, alhamdulillah, Allah for giving me this, that's just thana, that's hamd. That's not shukr. Shukr is not shukr until you act upon it. And he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember when we gave Musa the scripture and the criterion to distinguish right and wrong so that you would be perhaps guided. This book that has been given to us, the Quran, is not beneficial to anyone unless they take the right from it and make it right and uphold it and to stay away from what it calls falsehood and to believe it's false. That's when Islam actually benefits us. Islam is not a faith of spirituality where we're sitting and we're meditating and we're reflecting only about our relationship with Allah. It's about to implement the rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. And through those rules, our spirituality is uplifted. Through those laws, society is rectified. Through understanding that whether you or me understand the objectives and the higher purposes of those laws or not, they are for the greater benefit of society. And it is a lack of our education and maybe ignorance to not know what some of those benefits are. And I remember I was talking to a youth about this. He's like, what is the benefit of God saying this and this? And he was mentioning something in the Quran. And I said to him, I said, hold on. First of all, calm down. Second, you're questioning the logic of the Creator who brought you on this earth. Do you believe in Him? He said, yes. I said, okay. Know that whether you understand or you don't know, there's a greater wisdom. Do we agree with that? He said, yes. And he calmed down. Then we spoke about the wisdom and the objectives and purposes. And in this particular story, my brothers and sisters, we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us three very powerful lessons in terms of salvation, in terms of graciousness and gratitude, and in terms of seeking guidance. That was the whole point of the children of Israel being saved. Is that they carry on the responsibility of the faith that they were given. And they failed. They failed with that. And when they failed, Allah Azza wa Jalla brought Isa. That's why Jesus came, because they failed in their responsibility. They gave up the Holy Land. They said, we're not going to go there. There are people who are oppressors. We're not going to go and put ourselves into slavery again. Why? Because they do something we do probably regularly. We don't even know it. You know what that is? We question God. We question God's ability. We question, can really Allah answer my prayers? Can He? If I do what He says, will He give the Muslims victory? What is that? What is my actions here in San Diego have to do anything with Palestine? You know, this kind of rhetoric. You guys talk about all these little issues in fiqh and there's bigger things to worry about in the ummah as if the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not the main purpose for our existence to begin with. This kind of mentality is such a defeatist attitude of Bani Israel. And that is why they failed. That is essentially why they failed. And Musa alayhi salam did not achieve the material victory. He didn't get to go to Al-Quds. Al-Quds. What's Al-Quds? Jerusalem. Don't say Jerusalem. Say Quds, that's the name of Islam and it will be until the Day of Judgment. It's not Jerusalem. But in any case, he didn't get to even step into Al-Quds. He's buried just outside of it. He's buried just outside of it. But did he fail? He did not fail. On the Day of Judgment, Allah Azza wa Jalla will raise him with an ummah of fulfilling his task and his responsibility. But his people did. And Allah Azza wa Jalla brought Isa alayhi salam. And his people failed. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla brought Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now the question is, are we going to fail or are we not going to fail? Because this is a responsibility into the Day of Judgment. Another event happened here in this month, and specifically on the same day, which is also very important in Islamic history. And that is the passing or the killing and the massacre of Karbala, of the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which happened 61 Hijrah. 61 Hijrah. 50 years after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's passing, on the 10th of Muharram, on Jumu'ah, 61 Hijrah, Al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu was killed. He stood against another form of tyranny. And that is Muslims establishing a
law that is against the law of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be established, and even if a Muslim commits injustice, we must stand against him. And that's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluma." Give victory to your brother, whether they are a oppressor or an oppressed. They said, how can we give victory to an oppressor? By stopping his oppression. And that's what Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu did when the leadership was appointed without a collective council process known as shura. The Muslim rule, it must be established via shura, not by hereditary appointment. And when hereditary appointment in kingship was established to Yazid, Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood out against it with other companions like Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awam radiallahu anhu jami'an. Who is Al-Husayn and why should we care? Unfortunately, there are some Muslims, Sunni Muslims, who say whoever talks about the family of the Prophet ﷺ extensively, they may have elements of Shi'ism in them. And this is extremely upsetting to even hear. Love of the Prophet ﷺ's family is part of our iman. And you will hear in the following a hadith. And Nabi ﷺ has said in a hadith that's narrated by Nasa'i. From Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وأبوهما خير منهما. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Hassan and Hussein will be the leaders of the youth of paradise, and their father is better than them. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو حامل الحسين ابن علي وهو يقول اللهم إني أحبه فأحبه. He said, I saw the Prophet ﷺ carrying Al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was saying, oh Allah, I love him, so love him. And Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, من سره أن ينظر إلى رجل من أهل الجنة فلينظر إلى الحسين بن علي رضي الله عنهما فإني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول يقوله. If a person would like to be happy to see a man of paradise, let them look at Al-Husayn radiallahu anhu, because that's who the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said is a man of paradise. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu also mentions, خرج علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ومعه حسن وحسين هذا على عاتقه وهذا على عاتقه. He said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came out and he was carrying Hassan and Hussein, one on one shoulder and one on the other. And he would say, من أحبهما فقد أحبني ومن أبغضهما فقد أبغضني. Whoever loves me should love them, and whoever hates them, they will hate me. Whoever loves them, they love me, and whoever hates them, they hate me. It is from the love of these people that the Prophet ﷺ also said, حُسَيْنٌ مِنِّي وَأَنَا مِنْ حُسَيْنٍ أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ أَحَبَّ حُسَيْنًا حُسَيْنٌ سِبْتٌ مِنْ الْأَسْبَاطِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, Hussein is from me, and I am from Hussein, and Allah loves whoever loves Hussein. And Hussein is a sibt from the Asbat. The Sibt is a story in the Quran which refers to a nation. And the scholars refer to this as a great tribe, meaning that Al-Husayn would have many offspring, such they would become like a large tribe, and that is the true case today. The vast majority of the family of the Prophet ﷺ directly are from Hussein, the grandson of Rasulullah ﷺ. How can we then not love the family of the Prophet ﷺ when the Prophet ﷺ has said about Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu that on the day of Khaybar, when they were about to give conquest to the Jewish tribes that committed treason against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and attacked Medina, and they went to take care of their strategy, he says, la utiyanna ar-rayata ghadan rajulan yuhibbu Allahu wa rasuluhu yuftahu alayh. I will give tomorrow the flag to a person, a man that will take it, that is loved by Allah and his messenger. And he gave it the next day to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said that Allah will give through his hands victory. Allah and his messenger love Ali radiallahu anhu, and love his family, and love all of those who came from the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the extent that the Sahaba, like Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as mentioned by Dhahabi in Tariq al-Islam, he loved Al-Husayn radiallahu anhu so much that he would actually go, even though he's elder than him, and he would blow the dirt off of his feet out of love and respect. In our Western conceptualization, I guess a little too much, isn't it? No, it's not, actually. Because if you love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will love every single thing that's part of him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Hussein is from me. If you know that a person is from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Islam, is it something that we show an extra level of respect? Yes, not because of maybe who they are, but who they are connected with al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ones who are from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should respect themselves. Should respect themselves. They should not show a level of arrogance. I'm the family of fulan and I'm Sayyid and I'm so on and so forth. This is a form of arrogance sometimes. That we must show respect, but we also must show humility like the Prophet Muhammad alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed. And then I know so many people that you did not even know they were from Ahlul Bayt until I had a friend literally for about 10-15 years. I didn't know he was from Ahlul Bayt. Because he's not something that's saying it constantly. It just came up in a conversation and we found out, subhanAllah, his mother is from Ahlul Bayt. La ilaha illallah. And it shows the humility of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Among the things that happened on this day, that Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was given a false promise by the people of Iraq that we will support you against this kingship that has been established. When eventually he went on the way, they turned their backs on him. The people of Iraq who were going to support him turned their backs on Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came out to Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu and he said, don't go out to take bay'ah and leadership. Allah gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the option to select either this world or the hereafter. But he chose the hereafter. You also belong to the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't yearn after this world. Don't let yourself be contaminated by the worldly filth. But Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu felt out of his own ijtihad, being an imam, that it is more important to establish justice. It's not about the leadership that he sought. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu came out and said to him, don't go out to the people of Iraq because they're treacherous people. Go to the people of Yemen where you can garrison and get support. And then you can follow up and announce whatever leadership that you want. But Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not want to renege his promises to the people of Iraq. A poet that was coming on the way from Iraq, known as Farazdaq, saw Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu on his way. And he said, as Hussein saw him, min ayn, he said, min al-Iraq. And he said, kayfa hal ahl al-Iraq? How are the people of Iraq? And Farazdaq said, qulubuhum ma'ak wa suyufuhum min bani Umayya, ma'a bani Umayya. He said, their hearts are with you, but their swords are with Banu Umayya, who are the kings of, and the khilafah was with them, with Yazid ibn Muawiyah. But Hussein radiallahu anhu still did not want to renege his promise. Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu eventually goes out, and Ibn Abbas still pleads with him and says, at least do not take your children and do not take your wives and your family, because I don't want them to witness their father being killed like Uthman's family witnessed Uthman radiallahu anhu being assassinated in his house in Medina. But Hussein radiallahu anhu still traversed on. He said, I will not leave my family. Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he arrived there, he was encircled by over 4,000 army. And they massacred and killed and beheaded the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a very, very difficult day in Islamic history. Over 18 members of the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were killed. There were 6 children of Al-Husayn of Ali radiallahu anhu who were killed. Hussein, Ja'far, Abbas, Abu Bakr, Muhammad and Uthman. 2 children of Hussein, Ali and Abdullah. And 3 children of Hassan, Abdullah, Al-Qasim, Abu Bakr. And Aqil had Ja'far, Abdullah, Abdurrahman, Muslim, and Abdullah ibn Muslim. And Abdullah ibn Ja'far's children, Aun and Muhammad, 18 members of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were killed on this day. We learn from this another powerful lesson, my brothers and sisters. And that is that tyranny can happen even in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to where they even killed the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For what? For what? For a hadith the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us from. And this hadith is that the first thing that my ummah will fight over is leadership. Is leadership. Hukum. And in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ made dua. He made dua, oh Allah, don't destroy my nation like the previous nations in flood. And Allah answered this dua. Don't allow them to just suddenly be taken away. And Allah answered this dua. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, Allahumma la taj'al ba'asahum baynahum. Oh Allah, don't allow their rancor and hatred to cause division among themselves. In fighting. Fragmentation. And Allah did not answer that dua. Why? Because it's in our hands. It's in our hands to bring our hearts together. It's in our hands to uphold this faith. It's in our hands to overcome our egos. It's in our hands to overcome the things that divide us, whether it be nations, quote unquote. whether it be languages, whether it be tribes, or anything that divides the Muslim ummah. It's a very, very saddening day, but it is not a day of mourning. Ashura is not a day of mourning. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not mourn that day. Neither did Ali radiallahu ta'ala whose death which happened in Ramadan. Neither Khadija radiallahu anhu died in Ramadan. Neither is Uthman radiallahu anhu or Hamza who was murdered, massacred in Uhud. The Prophet ﷺ never held a day of mourning in Shawwal. It is not a day of mourning, it's a day of reflection. It's a day of thankfulness. And it's a day of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Allah for guidance. May Allah azza wa jalla allow us to be of those who thank him. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. My brothers and sisters, I just gave you a small summary of what happened on this day in terms of Islamic history and why these people and their lives are a marker for us if we only studied them. It's up to you to learn the lives of the Sahaba. Your children know the names of Marvel figures and NBA players and sports athletes and who their role models are, and it's a travesty that we do not have these people as our role models and don't know their lives. And the first people that are responsible for this are parents. If you don't know, what do you have to teach to your children? If you don't educate yourself, what are you going to teach your children? Don't expect the community or YouTube to teach your child. Learn yourself and have a conversation. What can we learn from Ashura? What can we learn from the life of Musa alayhi salam? What can we learn from the life of Hussein? What about all of the other things? They say on this month, Ibrahim was saved, and Nuh alayhi salam was saved in the month of Muharram. So with all of that, and the lessons that we just learned, it's also important to understand a very, very important point that learning the lives of these people, not only do we learn how to apply the guidance of the Qur'an, but is actually part of our faith. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu Malik ibn Anas radiallahu the famous imam in Medina, he says, كان السلف يعلمون أبناهم حب أبي بكر وعمر كما يعلمون السورة من القرآن. He says the righteous of the past used to teach their children the love of Abu Bakr and Umar like they used to teach their children a surah from the Quran. And it was told to Hassan, who's Hassan? Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu anhu. It was told to Hassan, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, حب أبي بكر وعمر سنة, is the love of Abu Bakr and Umar a sunnah? He says لا فريضة. It's not recommended. It's not voluntary. It's an obligation. And this was told to the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is an obligation for us to love them as well and to know their lives. May Allah azza wa jal allow us to understand the sacrifices of those who passed before us, ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma izz al-Islam wal-Muslimin. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم كما نجيت موسى عاشوراء فنجي إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعل إخواننا المستضعفين في بورما وفي فلسطين وفي سوريا وفي العراق وفي اليمن وفي ليبيا وفي كشمير وفي الهند ومن الأويغور في الصين يا رب العالمين اللهم ارزق باكستان الأمن والسلام وارزق إريتريا وإثيوبيا الأمن والسلام يا رب العالمين وأفغانستان يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة الفردوس الأعلى بغير حساب ولا عذاب اللهم إنا نعوذ بك أن نكون ظالمين اللهم إنا نعوذ بك أن نكون ظالمين اللهم إنا نعوذ بك أن نكون ظالمين اللهم ارزقنا مرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى جنة الفردوس الأعلى بغير حساب ولا عذاب وصل اللهم وصل وبارك على حبيبنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله استوى واعتدل وأقيموا صفوفكم ولا تختلفوا سرين لايز وان ليفينج أبس Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm Al-Din إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. القارعة ما القارعة وما أدراك ما القارعة يوم يكون الناس كالفراش المبثوث وتكون الجبال كالعهن المنفوش فأما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية وأما من خفت موازينه فأمه هاوية وما أدراك ما هي نار حامية.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى صحبه أجمعين. إن شاء الله عاشوراء is on Monday. Monday, if you can fast, إن شاء الله try to fast on Monday. And the day before is on Sunday, which the Prophet ﷺ recommended to fast. Try to get together with your family, and in MCC, inshallah, there will be a potluck iftar. So please bring a dish to share with others. And inshallah, bring your family and come early to make some dua before the time of iftar, inshallah. We'll also have a small, short speech prior to that, inshallah. And that's on Monday again, Monday, August 8th.
We also have the regular programming and class that we have in both fiqh and aqidah, contemporary theology, which starts at 7 p.m. today, inshallah. And after that will be the bonfire for the young adults, inshallah, with MYSD. Make sure to come out, bring your kids, and also yourself if you want. Jazakumullah khair wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.